So we've got peace. We've got privilege. We also have a prospect to look forward to. The prospect of future glory. And that's the end of verse 2. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's some statement, isn't it? Wow. That's an amazing hope. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hope is an interesting word, isn't it? Hope can mean lots of things. Hope can mean sort of, well, hope my team wins on Saturday, we'll keep our fingers crossed type thing. That's not Christian hope, is it? Unfortunately, that kind of hope's quite common. I came across a quote recently. It's a popular science writer called Yuval Noah Harari. And he writes lots of books that are very highly received by people who like these sort of things. And he talks about technology and climate change and that. One of his books is looking towards the future, and he comes up with this classic sentence at the end of it. He says, as far as the future goes, we better keep an open mind and hope for the best. We better keep an open mind and hope for the best. Well, thanks, Yuval. That's great. That's brilliant. I'm really reassured by that. That's the best that you can come up with after all this writing. But it's actually quite sad, that, isn't it? That is what the world thinks of the future. Well, keep an open mind, hope for the best. It'll all work out, probably, maybe, or who knows. But hope in the New Testament is not just wishful thinking. It's not uncertain. Hope is a certainty that hasn't happened yet. It's a promise of God that will be fulfilled. God's promises are fulfilled 100%. And it's a glorious promise to have. Quite literally, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Those who are justified through Christ will see and rejoice in the full glory of God. The glory of God is the very outshining of his character. The Holy God. It's just seeing the Holy God in his beauty and his full character, his wonderful, wonderful character. We see a bit of that already. In Romans 1, Paul talked about how in the world around us, in nature and what's going on around, we can see some of God's glory there. The Old Testament has little glimpses of it. Remember Isaiah, who saw the train of God's robe in the temple, was overwhelmed. And of course, in Jesus Christ, in human form, in veiled form, we saw some of the glory of God walking the earth. Remember Transfiguration, on the mountain of his disciples, and there he was transformed into glowing and whiter than white, and just this wonderful, dazzling figure, just that brief glimpse of glory. But one day we will see God's glory unveiled. When we die, or in Christ's return, whichever is first, we will see the full majesty of God in his heavenly dwelling. Wow. We will be with Christ who secure justification and see his glory. He said he promises that in John 17, 24. He's talking to disciples, but also refers to all who believe in him. And he says that they will see his glory be with him. And we ourselves will be glorified. Because unless we were glorified as well, everything dealt with, that's made perfect, we couldn't even see God ourselves. Again, remember Isaiah, when he saw God, he's flattened his face and petrified. We were created in the image of God, but that image is marred by sin. Once we come to Christ, he starts working to restore us, that process of sanctification takes place. We start getting more Christ-like. But on the final day, we were completely cleansed of our remaining sinful nature. Our imperfect bodies will be perfect. The fellowship with God Adam lost will be restored through Christ. But you know, that'll be wonderful. I could do with a beautiful, perfect body, that'd be fine. However, I don't think that'll be our focus. Our focus won't be on how glorious we are, because actually our focus will be on the glory of God, the wonderful triune God in heaven. We'll be actually in his presence, worshiping him. What is the Westminster Shorter Catechism? Is that the first thing it says there is the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Glorify God and enjoy him forever. Wonderful. Are you excited about that? Yeah, should be. We rejoice in this hope. The word rejoice actually be translated as boast or exult. Something to exult about, to boast about. Not because we've done anything right in boasting, but boast in our Savior. So seeing that we're justified through faith in Christ means three things. It means peace with God. It means a privilege of access into God's grace. And also means a prospect of future glory. And that's just two verses out of Paul's letter to the Romans. Wonderful blessings. On the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God revealed this to us through Paul. If you truly repent of your sin and trust in Christ for salvation, each one of us here can share fully in those blessings. Our natural state enmity with God has been removed. God's taken initiative to declare peace forever. And he invites into that relationship with him. He showers grace, his love and favor upon us. And we'll join him in his glorious heavenly home. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Just think of those verses next time you sing that hymn. So don't doubt. Certain hope is yours through Jesus Christ. You can have complete assurance about standing before God. You're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. In fact, later on, chapter 5, verse 5, Paul mentions that God's love has been poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. It's like a doubt, it's like a down payment, a promise of what's to come. You belong to Christ. How do we respond? Well, with wonder and amazement at the grace and the power of God. What a wonderful Savior, what a wonderful God. With humility, giving the glory and the praise and thanksgiving to God. We certainly can't feel superior about it. Nothing to do with us. It's all Christ doing. I also respond in gratitude as we seek to live our lives in ways that honor our Savior. And see, tell others about a wonderful Savior, so they too can have that glorious assurance and cleansing and peace with God. I'm going to close by reading the two verses from the paraphrase by J.B. Phillips, who I think captures beautifully what Paul's saying here. Since then, it is by faith that we are justified. Let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have confidently entered into his new relationship of grace, and here we take our stand in happy certainty of the glorious things he has for us in the future. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for this wonderful things you've told us, Lord, that we have peace with you, we have the privilege of access to you, Lord, and with the wonderful prospect of seeing your glory, Lord. Thank you for this. Just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for all he's done for us, Lord. And I pray anybody who doesn't know Christ as a Savior, has not yet put the faith in him, Father, today may this be the day that they turn to him, and they also can enjoy the wonderful blessings. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.